Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy.
I'm going to share a little bit tonight. I've asked our speaker if I could take a little bit of time and tell a little bit about what happened to Joan and I. We weren't here last week. We went back to my hometown, Mexico. I know I look Mexican. I was actually born in Mexico, Missouri. But so we went back to Missouri, and my dad is not doing well. And so, you know, we just wanted to spend some time, you know, with my dad. And so we had talked with Pastor a little bit about, you know, it's hard when your parents start, you know, aging. It's hard. And it's hard to have conversations. And my father is, you know, he was not the spiritual leader of our family. My mother had that role. And she did very well. And she's solid as a rock. And that's what I call her. She's my rock here on earth. But my dad is a mentor to, I have three brothers. So there was four boys. And he was always our mentor. You know, he could fix anything. He could build anything. He was a jack of all trades. And I mean, he just could do it all. And we learned so much from him. And so he's to the age now, and he's always had some illnesses, you know, heart condition, diabetic, just a lot of stuff that has affected him, but he's always been a mobile for the most part. And he built a little house next to his wood shop. And so he could walk back and forth, and, you know, that kept him active and working in his shop, but now he can't do that. And so, you know, I know that day's coming, but it's hard, you know, to talk to your parents about that. But anyway, you know, so we were praying about it and, you know, what to say. And you know, he's been down, depressed because he's, you know, focusing on what he can't do instead of looking to what he can do. And so the Lord kind of gave me this verse, and I'm going to share it in a little bit, but about maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, my dad, well, before that, about 10 years ago, he had plans to build his own coffin. And we thought, whatever, Dad, you know. And so he thought, but when he got thinking about that, he's like, you know, I don't want to be buried in the ground. And if I build this coffin, I don't want it in the ground. He's like, I want to build my own mausoleum. And he's in his 80s. And so my mom thought he was crazy. You know, it's like, you're just showing off. You know, it's a small town, 10,000 people. And, you know, everybody knows what everybody's doing. And so he traded his plots of land to get a bigger plot in the cemetery. And he's like, I'm building this mausoleum. And so I think I was the first brother. My one brother said, I don't want a part of it. I don't want no part of this. You know, this is morbid. This is weird. I don't want no part of it. So I finally went to my mom and it's like, you know, he's going to do this. You know, we're either going to all help him or let him try to do it by himself. It just ain't going, you know. So I drew it up. He had it in his head, but I got it on paper for him. And my one brother helping pour the concrete, basically poured the concrete. And then my other brother helping set the walls. And I got pictures of all this too, if y'all want to see it afterwards. And then Travis, my son, and Trey and me went up and framed the roof. We framed it all out of metal. And my other brother poured concrete on top of, you know, it's a concrete roof. And my nephew built the door. He's a fab guy. He built the door for it and built some flower type pot things out of aluminum. I helped him get the it's granite and get it etched. And so it ended up being, and my one brother, he lives in Texas. He finally got on board and helped him. He's got vinyl flooring in it and spray foam on the inside. And my brother said he's going to put a little antenna out front, out the side of it. I hooked in. Anyway, long story short, it brought us all together to help him accomplish what was in his head that he was going to do. And it ended up being a little bit narrow inside, so he had to build his coffin because a regular coffin would not fit in it. And he built two coffins, solid walnut, and they are awesome. And so, and I've got pictures of them too. So I say all this to say this, is my father prepared for us to make it easy, because we don't even have to think about stuff. He's got it planned out. He's got it set. Here's the funeral home. Here's the coffin. Here's the mausoleum you're putting me in. He's got it all. He prepared a place. And it got me thinking, how much more does our Father in heaven, Jesus, prepared a place for us? How much more is he prepared? And I told my dad this, and, you know, in our conversation, it was a tough conversation. It's like, Dad, you know, Jesus has prepared a shop for you in heaven. And he is a son of a carpenter. He is a master builder. And you're going to be working in your shop in heaven with Jesus. And so, you know, I ask him point blank, Dad, you know, have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? He said, yes, I have. He was very distinct, you know, about it. It's like, okay, you know, he's not one to read his Bible or, you know, even share scripture. I think he hears the word and it absorbs it, but he doesn't read a lot. So it was a difficult conversation to have. My mother was really thankful for it. And, you know, we shared some tears, but this verse is what I shared with him, and it's pretty familiar verse. Y'all probably know it. It's John 14, starting in verse 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is Jesus talking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. And Thomas questions him. You know, Thomas is always questioning and down. And Thomas says, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And like, he's been with Jesus. Anyway, and Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes before the Father except through me. So I shared that with my dad, and it's like, you know, Dad, you know, I know you're looking at what you can't do in your shop, but focus on what you can do. You can worship God. You can praise him. And I know this, you know, his time is coming soon. He's, you know, there's swelling that because his heart functions at like 15%. It just blows my mind. And his kidneys are shutting down, and you know, and he's just not able to move around. But, you know, I wanted to try to encourage him is to look towards heaven. Look towards what Jesus has prepared for you. You know, are you a believer? I asked him that twice. Are you a believer? Yeah, I'm a believer. Okay, that verse says that whoever believes in me. And so, anyway, I wanted to share that with y'all, and just, you know, be praying, you know, especially if you have a parent that's getting, you know, up in age. It's a difficult season. I watched my mother-in-law, is the only person I've ever seen die, and I watched life leave her body. And that was tough. And I really don't want to do that again, but I would be there by my dad or my mother's side if the Lord would put me there. And so anyway, not a super encouraging word, but I mean, if you want to see some pictures, because it'll blow your mind, you know, how this mausoleum turned out, how these coffins turned out. And it's kind of, again, it's kind of morbid. It's kind of weird, but you know, kind of cool too. We have tonight, Nick Logston's going to be speaking. First time I met Nick, I'm pretty sure it's the first time, you told me that the Lord had, you have a call from the Lord to preach the gospel. And that's a big call. You know, we all are, like Pastor said last week or last Sunday, you know, we all are to carry the word and communicate the word. And that's preaching, whether you think it is or not, that's preaching. But we're all anointed to do that. He has anointed us to do that. And so some of us step out in it good, you know. Some of us are gifted, you know, with that. Pastor John, I have him coach me all the time. It's like, coach me. And so Nick, this is an opportunity for Nick to bring the word and testimony, and come up here, and I'm going to pray for you, and then I'll give you the mic. So, Father God, I just pray tonight over my brother Nick, and Lord, just be with him, calm his nerves, Lord. And Father, just let him speak your words, not his, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit guide him, direct him, and Lord, just be a comfort to him, and let him see this as an opportunity to just to share the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
I don't know if it's more difficult to speak to a smaller group or a larger group, but so like Lauren told you, my name's Nick Logsden. I'm from Ballard County. I haven't completely surrendered to preaching, but the more that Pastor John's sermons, I mean, finding my pulpit. I know it's not up here just yet, but trying to figure out where that is, whether it be at work, whether it be everyday life, whether it be my kids, sports, whatever it is that I'm involved in. And so tonight, whenever he first asked me to speak, I was like, Lauren, I'm not a teacher. So if y'all are expecting this in-depth Bible study tonight, I'm sorry, but you're not going to get it. So tonight, I just want to kind of share with y'all a little bit about my background and what God's been doing in my life. And, you know, I don't want anybody to compare anything to my life. I don't want to try to act like I'm this or that. I just hope and pray that, you know, maybe some things that y'all are struggling with, I struggle with the same things. And what God is doing in my life, maybe, you know, it'll encourage you a little bit, because this past year, which I'll get to that in a minute, but so my childhood, I mean, I was raised by a single mother, a godly family. My dad, he was in a work accident when I just turned 6 and got killed at work, and that messed me up as a kid. I mean, me and my dad, I mean, we were very close. I mean, it's hard for me to really think about it, but I mean, I can remember stuff from when I was two years old, you know, with him. And so I was angry. I mean, I was a mad kid. I dealt with a lot of anger issues. But my mom, I mean, she put me and my sister before everything. I mean, she gave up her life pretty much, I mean, for us. And now that I have kids and they, I mean, they drive me nuts too, but now I get to see back on some of the stuff that I put my mom through, and, you know, it really, she still drives me nuts because she's an overprotective mother, but when I look back, like, she did her job, and I've told her thank you for that. I mean, she kept me and my sister, we were that family. We were in church Sunday night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, RAs and GAs and Awanas and if they were having a fish fry, we were there. And but my childhood, as I grew older, I mean, I still had all this anger just built up, and just I didn't know how to release it. And so sports was my release. As I just consumed myself with sports. That's how I got, you know, rid of all my anger and anxiety. And as I got older, you know, I was always one that was involved in church. I mean, I went every Sunday, but I was a Sunday warrior. I went to church on Sunday and felt the Holy Spirit. And then Monday through Saturday, I lived my life how I wanted to live. And that was all the way up through my mid-20s. By the grace of God, I mean, I could have been an addict, and because I tried it all. I mean, I was running around. I mean, I drank, I smoked, I did it all. Just trying to consume, because that was my escape. Once I got older and my sports career ended, you know, I just would try to find stuff to just drown it out. But I would still be in church on Sunday. I might have a headache, but I was there. And it's hard to explain. Like, I got saved at a very young age. I feel like I matured at a very young age. And I can still remember, I know without a doubt, I mean, I was 8 years old, and I know without a doubt that I gave my life to the Lord. And, you know, through my teenage years and my young adult life, you know, I was being convicted for everything I was doing. And I knew God, and I would still pray to God, but I was trying to build my own kingdom. I was trying to drown my own sorrows with things that just made me not think about it, instead of just going to the main source, you know. And so as I got into my mid-20s, you know, I had my oldest daughter. I mean, I had a daughter out of wedlock, and boy, I tell you what, when I had to tell my mom and my grandparents that, I thought, because they were holy rollers, and me having to have that conversation was pretty difficult. But, you know, so that changed my life a lot. It made me grow up. I kind of started putting the stuff aside, and, you know, I knew I was going to raise her in church, you know, and started, you know, trying to be a positive influence in her life. But I was still, you know, I was still trying to live life my way. I was trying to build my kingdom. And, you know, as she got older, I was still, it was a bad relationship that I got out of, and I was just kind of, I didn't know where I was going. And this lady come into my life and changed my life. Like, I knew the first day we went on a date, like, I'm gonna marry her. And we dated not very long. And I went to her parents, and I told them, I'm like, probably just a couple months after we'd been dating, and I went and told them, I was like, y'all have raised a godly woman that I know God has put in my path to get my life straight. And she was. I mean, she still is. I mean, she's kind of like what you were saying about your mom. I mean, she was our life support. And so we got married. Well, we were only dating very, very little while. We got engaged within 4 months, and we were married within 7 months. And, you know, I needed her. I needed her. I know without a doubt God put her in my life. But as we started growing and expanding our family, I was still, you know, I was still consumed with the world. I mean, we both knew who God was and was pursuing God, but, you know, worldly things most of the time came first. And, you know, it wasn't necessarily that I was trying to live for the world, but that's just all I knew. I mean, I'd lived that way for so long that's just all I knew. And so a little over a year ago, it was middle of November of 2021, right in the middle of COVID. And so I had a very, very good job that God had blessed me with. And like the thing that I'm still trying, and I ask God all the time, because what amazed me, like, I wasn't pursuing God whenever he come to me. Like, I was, but I wasn't seeking him. And one night I was getting in the shower and God just spoke to me, like, just as clear as, I don't know, I get goosebumps just talking about it. But he was just like, he just flashed my whole life before my eyes and just showed me, was like, I was, like, I was in my early 30s, had the best paying job that I'd ever had in my life, had a beautiful family, had a nice house. I mean, I didn't want for anything. But then he also showed me in the same breath, look what you could have if you would just give it to me. And so also in this time, we foster also, which that's a whole other story. But in the midst of all that, we had our oldest. I mean, he's actually aged out, but he's still our kid. He's 18 now, but at that time he was 17. We had had him for 2 years, and you know, his background was just, he had a rap sheet this long, but it was a little petty stuff, but because he just didn't have nobody in his life. And God just really showed to me, like, we were able to provide him with the resources that he needed to strive. And he took advantage of him. I mean, within a couple months of us having him, he was on the honor roll, got his record clean, and was just striving. But what really, he was getting ready to graduate high school, and, you know, it was just really kind of scaring me, like, all right, whenever he goes to college, is he going to take the resources that we instilled in him and, you know, strive, or is he going to go back to the only thing he ever knew? And so in the midst of all this, of God speaking to me, I just really, it was laid on my heart to go into ministry. And I, you know, at that time, I didn't really know what that meant. You know, growing up in a Southern Baptist church, I guess I thought that being in ministry was preaching, youth minister, like that's kind of what my aspect was. So whenever God placed that calling on my life, like I said, COVID was going on at work, and I had to make a decision. And I know that without a doubt, God used COVID for me to make a decision. Am I gonna give my life to him? Because I had to make a decision to whether I was going to stay or where I wasn't by a certain date. And so I was struggling with it. I was like, God, you know, I'm surrendering to you, but I really don't know what it is that you want me to do. And I went into work one day, and like, I was just miserable. I was like I was trying to live my life for the Lord, but I was also trying not to give up my worldly things. And so I called Liv, and she was just like, come home. So I left. And at that day, I told God, I said, God, I don't know where you're going to take me, but I'm giving it all to you. Like, I'm giving you my finances. I'm giving you my job. I'm giving you my wife, my kids. I'm giving you everything. And so we were going to open up at that time, and I still think God is going to, futuristically, he's still showing me visions of this, but so I left we were going to open up a Boys and Girls Club in Paducah, like a ministry where kids could come after school and whatever their hobbies were, they could come there instead of running the streets, and we were just going to be a faith base and just pour into them and just, you know, give them a chance to do something with their life. And so I didn't have a clue what I was doing, but I just started going around and like people that had started up their own nonprofits, I would just go and meet with them and just say, hey, what'd you do? How did you get started? And then like I would go to business people and just talk to them about, you know, what do you think is the best avenue to do this or do that? And I mean, that is the most on fire for the Lord that I've ever been in my life. I didn't have a care in the world. And like I said, but I didn't know what I was doing either. So I started running into a couple roadblocks, but I was fine with that. And so I kind of started stepping back and was like, you know, because I'm a type of guy, and Pastor John gives me a hard time about it, but I'm a blow and go kind of dude. Like, if it's on my heart, like, if I don't do that, then I'm going to sit on it and I'm going to end up talking myself out of it. And so I've had to try to learn how to process all that, because sometimes you can make irrational decisions whenever you don't think things out. And so I started stepping back and was like, we just decided, like, we're just going to get plugged in with the church as much. And that's when we were starting to search for a church family and oh yeah, our house. So we decided that in the process of this, we were going to move back towards Paducah and, you know, just kind of see where it was, where, what was going to happen. And we put our house up for sale. We sold it like in 10 minutes on Facebook. And we were like, and at that time, the housing market, which is still crazy, but it was super crazy at that time. And we were like, well, what are we going to do now? And so we started searching and we couldn't find nothing that fit our needs or was just astronomically high. And we were trying to find something, you know, we just decided, let's just rent until we figure out what we're going to do. So in the process of all this, we pretty much made a year's worth of my salary off of selling our house. And I knew without a doubt that that was a God thing. I mean, there was no question about it. So in the midst of all that, you know, I knew the calling that God had placed in my heart, but I didn't necessarily know where that fit. And, you know, I kind of hit some roadblocks and an opportunity come up for me to go back out to the plant. And the day I was going to go, a guy reached out to me from FCA, which is Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Sports and God. That was like my two things. And the way that that conversation even come about was totally a God thing. And in the midst of all that, I had an interview on a Thursday. The guy was like, hey, we're putting on this power camp. Just come out and see what's going on. And it was on a Thursday, the same day. So I was going to go to this thing in the morning. And if God spoke to me, I was not going to go to my interview. So I go to it, and it was just amazing, like watching these middle school and high school kids just surrender to the Lord. Like, and I was like, I was saved at that age, and I was not doing this. I mean, and it just really opened my heart, like, this is what I want to do. So I called the plant. I was like, I'm not coming to the interview. And I told the guy, I was like, you know, I want to be a part of this. And so through all of that, when you get into nonprofits and stuff, there's a lot of stuff that I wasn't aware of. You know, a lot of nonprofits are, you have to raise your own money and stuff like that. And the ministry side, I loved it. God taught me so much stuff through that process, but the raising money side was not me. Like, I'm not a guy that, like, I go and the people I knew that was going to support me, like, I was basically living off my testimony. And when I was going and talking to, like, business people that wanted, like, I just don't have that in me to go and try to almost beg people for money. It's just weird. So I decided that I just wasn't going to do it. And in the midst of all that, Pastor John, all his sermons was at that time was going over the what were those ones that he, when we first started coming here? I wrote it down and I don't know what to do with it. Oh, the old kingdom realities. At that time, he was going over the whole kingdom realities. And when we found this church family, I've never been a part of a church family like this. Like, from the day that we first walked in the doors, God put us here without a doubt for exactly where we were in our life, the couples that we've met, the single people that we met, everybody. I've never been around a group of people that are all seeking the same thing. that I'm seeking, and wanting to grow off of each other, wanting to build relationships. And I've never had a shepherd that led me the way that this man has been leading me either. And like I said, I grew up in church, but I kind of grew up in a religion. I grew up in a traditional, and some of my family and some of the people down there, I know without a doubt they're godly people. But I want everything that this book has to offer. I want everything that the Lord has in store for my life. I don't want to just be a Sunday back row Baptist. I mean, I want the Holy Spirit. I want all the blessings, all the gifts that God has to offer me. And, you know, some of my family, they're just kind of reserved to that kind of stuff. And that's where I've been. I'm not going to say struggling, but I'm kind of stubborn in a way. And over this past year, the more that Pastor John has just been digging into like the kingdom realities, and then he's gone to this He Is series and, you know, representing Jesus through my ministry, my daily life ministry. Like, I'm having to try to unlearn, I'm not going to necessarily unlearn, but just things like I've never been taught. Like, certain scriptures that I have been taught, but I never looked at them that way. I never, like, you know, just truly. One of the ones that gets me the most is when you go through Discovery, the Moses and the parting of the Red Sea. Like, I had never looked at that whole passage through the lenses of the way he teaches that. And it's really been like a true blessing in my life. And what really has gotten me here these past 3 weeks, this new series that he's on, it's just really, because that's what I was struggling with. Whenever I surrendered to the Lord, like, I knew that he was calling me into ministry, but I thought it had to be this way, that way, that way. Like, that's what my calling was. And I was trying to be somebody that I wasn't. I was trying to force something that I wasn't. And this whole past year, I've never been closer to God than I have since I surrendered, but it's also been one of the toughest years of my life, because the more I surrendered, the more that the enemy has we've had the past 3 weeks, just it seems like something one after another, but I refuse to go back to my old way of living. I don't care what I've been through. I don't care what we're going to go through. Like, my life is to live for the Lord. And that is truly what he showed me what my ministry is I actually went back out to the plant a couple weeks ago. It's all been a full circle. And it has truly been, like, that was my ministry from the get-go. Like, I was trying to just get involved. And because I got involved with, you know, disaster relief ministry. I got involved with sports ministry. I got involved with fatherless youth ministry. I thought I was almost forcing something into my life that God was like he taught me something with all of those experiences, but he also showed me, like, just be who I've called you to be. Don't try to be somebody that you're not. And because when I got into certain ministry, then the enemy started using me there. It was like, who do you think you are to try to do this? Who do you think you are to tell these kids this? You know, because I'll be honest with you. I struggle daily. Like, but that's another thing I've always heard, you know, carrying your cross, you know, daily. Well, I have a totally different aspect to that now, because I truly do. Like, that is, I want to pick up my cross and carry it on a daily basis. And I don't want to just be a lukewarm Christian that, you know, whenever my highs are highs, but when my lows are lows, then I just drift away. And I do struggle with that sometimes. That's just something that I've really had to focus on and surrender to, and just know that no matter what I'm going through, that God is still right there. And he's going to get you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Like, he's always there with you. And he's always going to be standing on the other side of it, and dragging you to the other side with him. And I've had to really just try to forget a lot of the stuff that I thought was normal. Because, you know, I spent 30-something years living one way. And I've tried to change it in 1 year, and that's not really been possible. And I thought, you know, I thought as soon as I said, God, I give it all to you, then it was just going to be these, every time I walked outside, there was going to be these pearly white lights everywhere, and, you know, everything was just going to be easy. Well, it doesn't work that way. And so I just encourage anybody, like, I'm telling you, as soon as you just say, Lord, I give it all to you, no matter what it is, no greater feeling in the world. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. I mean, I know a lot of people in here, if we don't have the same story, but we're all seeking the same thing. And that's the one thing that I really encourage, if you're new here or if you're not plugged in here, like, everybody that's in this room, I don't know everybody, but a lot of people are all seeking the same thing. And you cannot go through this walk alone. And I used to think I could. I used to think that, you know, I could do it on my own. I could, you know, just between me and God, like, that's all I needed. But you can't. You need brothers and sisters in Christ to just love on each other. And just, you know, if you're struggling with this or they're struggling with that, you know, you might be struggling with two totally different things, but you might both find the same way to get the right result. And that's the biggest thing that I just encourage, you know, don't let the enemy win. Because I struggle with that on, I'm not going to say a daily basis anymore, but like, I refuse to go back to the way I was in the past, and I'm so excited to see what God has in store for us. Like, it's, he gives me glimpses every now and then, and I'm not a patient person, and I'm like, God, I just, like, right now, pastor just keeps preaching about the ramp, and I got to go on that experience, and it just tied in every, because this season has been such an up and down, but we're on our breakthrough, and it ain't been an easy road, but I'm thankful for the people that I met here. I'm thankful for a loving church. I wish Pastor was here, because I'm thankful for a shepherd, you know, that truly does preach the word and care about what he's preaching and cares about his flock. And so I just thank you for this opportunity, and I don't know. I don't know. I get kind of all these different thoughts going in my head. But the one thing I want to leave with you tonight, this scripture that I've come across in 1 Timothy chapter 12 through verse 16, has been one that I just really cling to almost on a daily basis. Like, I read it and I just keep it whenever the enemy's trying to attack me. I go back, this is my scripture I go back to. Or 1 Timothy 12 through 16. First chapter. Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 1, 12 through 16. It says, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him, even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. In my indolence, I persecuted his people, but God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. And how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that come from Jesus Christ. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that too can believe in him and receive eternal life. And that's my prayer for what God is doing in my life. And I just ask that you pray for me, is God has really shown me, like, that's my pulpit, is my workplace. I work in an industrial environment now, but I come from a construction background, and it is not easy being a believer and being and let people see Christ through you in a construction environment. I mean, on a daily basis, whether people are doing it on purpose or they just don't know any better, it's hard. It is very hard. And if I wouldn't have gone through the past year, there's no way I could do it, because I'd have done falling back off the wagon. Cussing was a big problem for me. Like, if I always had a bad mouth, and if I was around it, I was eventually going to start doing it again. And then the next thing I knew, I was going backwards. But the other day, and I haven't told her this, but there's a couple of the new guys that I've hired in with that they're rough. I mean, they just, I'm not going to say they don't believe, but they just aren't seeking the same thing I did. And I was actually looking over some stuff and trying to put some stuff together, and I pulled out my Bible one day at church, at work during break. And you could just see eyes just start wondering. And you could see their, for a moment's time, their language kind of shut up. The conversations they were having, and a couple guys that I really wasn't expecting, they were like, oh, man, where do you go to church? And some of them, and I was one of those, well, I go to church here. And I'm like, well, I would have never known you went anywhere by the conversations you were just having. But, and I still struggle on a daily basis, but that is one thing I know God has called me to do. And I just ask you to pray for me that I can show people Christ just by the way I walk, the way I talk, the way I act, and just like he preached on Sunday. Like, it took me a long time to realize what my ministry was, and I never looked through it through the lens that he preached the other day, but this is my ministry. And I just pray that I can just, whenever I go into a place, that people can see Christ through me, the way I act, the way I treat other people. And I just pray that on the days that I struggle, they can see enough God in me that they know I'm not being a hypocrite, that I'm not being a, because that's one thing that I would never want to be. It's one thing that pushed me away from the church a lot when I was growing up, was hypocritical Christians. And that's the one thing that I pray to God that I can be, that people can see Christ through me, and they know it's genuine and they know it's true. And even through my struggles, they can still see God.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.